Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Members of Congress, I have the high privilege and distinct honor of presenting to you the President of the United States.
Our country is winning again. In fact, we're winning so much that we really don't know what to do about it. People are asking me, please, 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 Mr. President, we're winning too much. We can't take it anymore. We're not used to winning in our country. Until you came along, we're just always losing, but now we're winning too much. And I say, no, 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 you're going to win again. You're going to win big. You're going to win bigger than ever. And to prove that point, here with us tonight is a group of winners who just made the entire nation proud. The men's gold medal Olympic hockey team. Come on in.
And he awards the goalie the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I mean, it's a pretty good moment. Now, I know probably a lot of you tuning into this show, you know, you hear me talk about Trump or other things, and you kind of wonder, what's Andrew's reaction going to be to the State of the Union address? Well, mixed, because it's Trump. So it's a mixture. You know, on the one hand, I think if you set out to get every fact wrong, you couldn't do any better job than he did. Because the fact checklists are real clear. It's not this, it's not this, it's not this. Everything he says is an exaggeration. It doesn't mean the underlying basic idea is wrong, but he just has a fondness for getting every fact wrong. Is that a lie? Is that an exaggeration? Does he not know the difference? I don't know. But that's him. You know, if you want him to be the source of news, well, keep looking. He's a terrible newsman. So if you come to this and you want to be outraged at him, or his antics, you'll find reasons. On the other hand, if you come to this wanting to worship him more, you'll find reasons. The medals alone was amazing. It's as a celebration of American accomplishment and honoring heroes. And if that didn't resonate for you at all, yeah. If you sit during these moments, and Democrats did stand up mostly, you know, during the men's hockey, but if that doesn't make you go, yeah, you know, what's wrong with you?
That's the first time I've ever seen them get up. And actually, not all of them did get up. But they beat a fantastic Canadian team in overtime, as everybody saw, as did the American women who will soon be coming to the White House.
Yeah, you know, voluntarily, involuntarily, you know, whatever. But they'll find time. They'll make it happen. Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. Obviously, there was plenty. There was lots of yelling back. I've never heard so much yelling back, which actually doesn't bother me. I've always been a fan of the British Parliament, you know, where they, you know, where they do all that kind of reacting to each other. If you've never watched British Parliament, I think most people probably watched it at some point. But if you have never watched it, just, you know, I don't know, grab a BBC clip or something and just watch for a few minutes, just so you see that raucous back and forth, open mocking and deriding and sarcasm this is normal. It's human. Some people have this idea like politics should be all sanitary and clean and nice, and to which I think, yeah, but politics is war by other means. Politics is what we do instead of going to war. There's a lot of people who have to live together, making decisions about controversial and complicated things, and instead of fighting it out every time we have a disagreement, we vote it out, and we debate it out. That's what politics is. Politics is war by other means, and it's a lot less costly, a lot less painful, a lot less risky. It's our agreement to settle it in a more civil way, but that doesn't mean that it has to be fully civil, you know, and asking people to not be, you know, mean and rude and politics is, I mean, like asking them not to be people. So it doesn't really bother me. That's why sometimes I think the overemphasis on, you know, behaving yourself in these county commission or city council meetings, I'm like, I mean, I don't know, let the people be the people. It's all right. Yeah, there can be limits. You know, I agreed with throwing Andrew Blue out. That's fine. But I don't mind a few cheers and jeers and a little bit of callback. But some people, my goodness, it was just like they couldn't keep their mouth shut when he's talking. It was wild. Like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. Ilhan Omar, who's Somali, or not, she's Muslim. I think Rashida Tlaib is also Muslim. I think she's Somali. Anyway, Rashida Tlaib has the F ice button she's wearing last night. A sitting official, an elected official in the U.S. Congress is wearing an F, like it's spelled out, plain as day, in the House. It's amazing.
But when it comes to the corruption that is plundering, it's plundering America. There's been no more stunning example than Minnesota, where members of the Somali community have pillaged an estimated $19 billion from the American taxpayer. Oh, we have all the information. And in actuality, the number is much higher than that. And California, Massachusetts, Maine, and many other states are even worse. This is the kind of corruption that shreds the fabric of a nation, and we are working on it like you wouldn't believe. So tonight, although started 4 months ago, I am officially announcing the war on fraud to be led by our great Vice President, J.D. Vance.
He's the fraud czar. It's kind of an odd one, but, you know, okay. And then this was probably, I mean, there was a lot of really actually, you know, very captivating moments. I mean, Trump is an entertainer. He is a carnival barker. He's a reality show guy. I mean, remember The Apprentice? You know, he understands the importance of having the evil Omarosa and being the evil Omarosa sometimes. And, you know, being the villain and the hero. And, I mean, you know, kind of all in one package, right? He gets that. I think that's a lot of what he does is to be that captivating, can't look away from it, train wreck of nonsense and, you know, all the stuff, right? As I said earlier, I bet Trump was just disappointed that he couldn't do a laser light show and fireworks and have Kid Rock and, you know, come in and do a part of the state of the union. What do you mean I can't do smoke? Dang it. I had a whole thing planned.
One of the great things about the State of the Union is how it gives Americans the chance to see clearly what their representatives really believe. So tonight I'm inviting every legislator to join with my administration in reaffirming a fundamental principle. If you agree with this statement, then stand up and show your support. The first duty of the American government is to protect American citizens, not illegal aliens.
And the Democrats don't stand. Terrible choice. And the whole point was to make them embarrass themselves. And he absolutely did on that point. Because, you know, he's cultivated the whole speech so far. He's, you know, they don't stand, they don't stand, they don't stand, they don't stand. And then he says that, and they're like, oh, man, that's not hard. That should be easy to stand up. Yes, we agree. The primary goal of American politics should be to protect American citizens and not illegal immigrants. Yes. No, we can't. What a whore. It's genius. We'll come back to this in a second. I haven't done traffic yet. All right, John Pickens, that's Traffic on the Fives. John?
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still rolling accident-free. Start to see a little bit of congestion on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Also, Highway 29 southbound coming to 9 Mile Road. Expect 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Trump last night after the whole illegal immigrants thing. They wouldn't stand to defend Americans.
Isn't that a shame? You should be ashamed of yourself not standing up. You should be ashamed of yourself. That is why I'm also asking you to end deadly sanctuary cities that protect the criminals and enact serious penalties for public officials who block the removal of criminal aliens, in many cases drug lords, murderers all over our country. They're blocking the removal of these people out of our country, and you should be ashamed of yourself. Yeah.
At least 80% of that noise is Ilhan Omar yelling back. And you know what? Perfect handling of it. Don't acknowledge it. Don't even do the I'm talking, you know, don't get him thrown out. I mean, Al Green already got himself thrown out, but just be louder. And you know, Trump can be louder. He knows how to be louder. So lots of moments. It was a show, you know, hour and 47 minutes. It was a show. It was a movie. I mean, that's a movie-length performance. But, again, if you come to it looking for the things that were wrong, you will find the things that were wrong. You will. If you come to it looking to find reasons to worship Trump, you'll find it. If you come to it, you know, kind of like I do, just trying to see what the thing is, honestly, I thought it was a pretty brilliant performance. There were a lot of parts of it that I'm like, oh, good Lord. But when I look back on it, you know, what do I remember? What am I going to remember? What might stick with me for a long time? He gives the Presidential Medal of Freedom to the USA hockey goalie. He gives the Purple Heart to Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf, who was the survivor of the two National Guardsmen who were wounded in that terrible attack.
So, Andrew, while you're up, now I'm going to ask a highly respected General James Seward to present Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf and the great family of Sarah Beckstrom with the award created by our late, great President George Washington himself. It's called the Purple Heart.
Right? Pretty good moment. I mean, horrible thing, but celebrating people who put their life and their limb on the line. And, of course, Sarah Beckstrom died in that attack. And then all the way down to the end, you say, what does all this have to do with the State of the Union? He was reminding us of who we are. He was setting a goal of these are the things that make us great. These are the things that we celebrate because they're greatness examples. And then he does this whole long thing with and there were really two. It was kind of amazing. First was the chief warrant officer who was involved, Eric Slover, who was involved in the raid to capture Maduro.
While preparing to land, enemy machine guns fired from every angle. And Eric was hit very badly in the leg and hip, one bullet after another. He absorbed four agonizing shots, shredding his leg into numerous pieces. And yet, despite the fact that the use of his legs was vital to successful helicopter flight, legs are the most important part of flying a helicopter, to deliver the many commandos who would capture and detain Maduro was the only thing Eric was thinking about.
So he's just dealing with that event, and he goes on. Because, again, there were a couple of times during this performance last night that I just, you can't look. It's so captivating hearing these stories.
Eric told his co-pilot, also wounded but not as gravely, to take over. I'm about ready to pass out. The success of the entire mission and the lives of his fellow warriors hinge on Eric's ability to take the searing pain. It was unbelievable what's happened to his legs of the bullets and keep on flying and landing. And people knew what was happening. Everybody in the back of the helicopter knew because they saw the blood pouring down the aisle. Chief Warrant Officer Slover is still recovering from his serious wounds, but I'm thrilled to say that he is here tonight with his wife, Amy, Eric, and Amy. Come on in.
Oh, and the reveals, you know, the people who were not in for the speech but were brought in, like the USA hockey players or the uncle that had been imprisoned in Venezuela as a political prisoner that got released. And in this case, you know, the hero from, you know, the assault that took Maduro out. Oh, and a lot of the chanting of USA, of course.
So we have a surprise for Eric and Amy. In recognition of Eric's actions above and beyond the call of duty, I would now like to ask General Jonathan Braga to present Chief Warrant Officer Slover with our nation's highest military award, the Congressional Medal of Honor.
And so you think this is going to be the quintessential moment. And then he gives a second Medal of Honor to a pilot whose story has not been told in public. I actually had this on my show prep for a little while. Royce Williams, this 100-year-old man who was involved in a dogfight against Soviet jets in 1952 over the Sea of Japan that has never been told publicly because he shot down four of their jets and came back with 263 bullet holes to his plane. And we weren't supposed to be at war with the Soviets. And that's not a good, you don't tell that story. He didn't even tell his wife. Like, so not one, but two medals of honor awarded. I do kind of wonder, are they going to do the regular ceremony where they read the citation? And I would think at this point, probably no. It'd be anticlimactic. But two medals of honor, Presidential Medal of Freedom, a Purple Heart, a release of a prisoner of politics in Venezuela. I mean, are you not entertained? What more do you want? Well, he's supposed to announce policies and he's supposed to get the facts right on the economy. Oh, I know. I know. But what you want is for President Trump to be some other president. If you judge him on his own merits, I mean, this is the Trumpiest of all Trumpy things. Honestly, it's hard to imagine what he might do next year. Maybe he will have Kid Rock and an eagle flying around and fireworks and pyrotechnics and smoke and I don't know. Hard to top this one, though. People want to believe. They want to be proud. They want to be excited. And for all the negative things, and I've said them, they're not unfair, but for all the negative things, this is the kind of presentation that people want, good and bad, and he delivered it. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Let's see here. No accidents to report to you. Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 Mile Road, expect a 15-minute delay. And Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, about a 13-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Hey, if you have a roof that you think needs repair, maybe needs replaced, you're not quite sure, you're not real eager to find out because you know it's a lot of money, obviously, to get a roof, well, call Quality Roofing Solutions. I mean, feel free to call more than one company. I'm not saying you only have to call one. I'm just saying make sure they're on your list. In fact, that's one of the reasons I like to represent them is because when they came to, you know, the salesperson came to me and said, you know, can you represent them? And I said, well, let me ask around. So first thing I did, I asked my wife. She knows a lot. She says, when I see on Nextdoor, when people ask for who to do the roof, they're always on the list. Always. They have a 4.9 rating on Google. That's unbelievable. They've done 10,000 roofs in the last 20 years since they started in 2006. They have a lifetime warranty on the workmanship for the roofs, which is, again, unheard of. All the little things, having met them and talked with them, I know who they are and what, you know, what their philosophy of business is and treating you like a person and being honest and, you know, giving you a good price. I mean, it may not be the cheapest price, but, you know, sometimes, you know, when you pay too little, you get too little, right? So keep that in mind as well. The point is they'll be straight with you and you know they'll do good work and they're trying to make roof repair or replacement, not the thing you dread it to be. That's it. Give them a call, 777-0961, qualityroofingsolutions.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you feeling strong? Isaiah 40:29 indicates that God only gives strength to those that know they're weak. Muhammad Ali, the famous boxing champion, was about to fly on a commercial airplane when the stewardess asked all the passengers to be seated and buckle their seatbelts. Ali said to the stewardess, "Don't you know who I am?" He went on to say, "I'm Superman, and Superman doesn't need a seatbelt." The stewardess replied, "Well, Superman doesn't need a plane either. Now sit down and buckle up." The application for you and me is that we're not as strong as we think we are. I encourage you to recognize your weakness and call upon God humbly to ask Him for a fresh dose of His lasting strength.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Princeton Grove, a new affordable housing community in Crestview, is now taking applications for 1 and 2 bedroom apartments. Princeton Grove features a resort-style swimming pool, pickleball court, dog park, state-of-the-art fitness center, Energy Star rated appliances, granite countertops, and for a limited time, Princeton Grove is offering 1 bedroom apartments for $849 and 2 bedrooms at $1049 with no application fee. Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. Location, community, quality living. All starts at Princeton Grove.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Here's a tale of Tina searching up and down for decent GLP-1s, but got spun around.
Till good RX rode in, hey, we got something new. GLP-1 prescriptions, all FDA approved.
Brand name meds, no flags that are red.
Clear pricing from the start. None of those hidden fees in your cart.
Delivered to your door or pick up same day. Darn tootin'.
Save time and money on prescriptions.
Hot foot it to goodrx.com/weightloss. GoodRx is not insurance.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryant.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
What are you going to do today, Napoleon?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God.
Good morning, 7:30 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne has a headline or two for us. David?
Well, the partial government shutdown continues. Seven Democrats are blocking funding for the Department of Homeland Security. A vote yesterday to advance a spending bill to end that was 50-45, but it needed 60 votes to advance.
All right, very good. Hey, coming up next, we're going to talk to Mayor D.C. Reeves, American Creosote Works, his trips to D.C. and Tallahassee, among other things.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm CJ Papa. Most things are cheaper, the claim from President Trump during his State of the Union address.
The cost of chicken, butter, fruit, hotels, automobiles, rent is lower today than when I took office by a lot.
Officials here have decided that the best thing they can do ahead of the midterms to convince people that the economy is working better for them is to highlight the president's policy of no tax on tips. The day after the big speech, 3 o'clock, that is when President Trump has a meeting with the Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy about revitalizing Dulles.
Fox's Peter Ducey. Some Republicans want to rename the airport in Northern Virginia after President Trump. Virginia Governor Abigail Spanberger pushes back.
His reckless trade policies have forced American families to pay more than $1,700 each.
America's listening to Fox News.
Seven 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Good morning. I'm David Wayne. Right now it's 52 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies, looking like a very nice morning for us here. We'll get our full forecast. Brooke Richardson has that in just a few minutes. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce recognizing local leaders last night at the 66th Annual PACE Awards. Rick Byers from Florida Power and Light was named Business Leader of the Year. He moved here about a decade ago.
I came here a decade ago to take a new opportunity for me to engage in economic development, community development, and fell in love with this community.
And Casey Gartman from Baptist Healthcare won Community Leader of the Year. Sheriff Chip Simmons receiving the Pioneer Award. Other winners last night, Bobby Potomsky is Emerging Leader. Dr. Martha Saunders is Leader in Education. And Louis Baer III receiving the Spirit of Pensacola Award. Well, Santa Rosa County Commissioners will likely approve a $400,000 contract with Walter Marine for artificial reef construction funded by state and federal grants. At tomorrow's meeting, Mike Sandler told commissioners on Tuesday that the reef would be located just a mile offshore due south of Gulf Breeze at about 60 feet deep, making it visible from shore and accessible for boaters and even for kayakers. Sandler said more boats are registered in Santa Rosa than Escambia County, so most Western residents use Pensacola Pass to reach the Gulf. He said that reef will provide habitat that wouldn't otherwise exist, and it'll create a fishery for resident fish as opposed to just transitory fish. The project also would have environmental and, he said, possibly tourism impacts as well. Well, Zoo Tampa taking care of a manatee that was found in distress in Sarasota County. That was spotted over the weekend. Police say that the manatee had scars and was showing signs of cold stress. Two people suing Universal Orlando for injuries they suffered on a ride. Twin brothers Eric and Derek Burrows say they got hurt Christmas Day riding the Harry Potter and the Battle of the Ministry ride. And they say it came to a sudden stop and it left them with back and neck injuries. They're both seeking $50,000 in damages. The lawyers representing them say the ride has been plagued by repeated malfunctions and glitches. The VA halting that controversial rule that veterans groups said would penalize them for following doctor's orders. The rule would have required disability ratings to be based on how well veterans function while on medication, not based on the severity of underlying injury or illness. Congressman Jimmy Patronis says that became a pretty emotional issue.
But when you're talking about something as intimate and personal as your health, especially when it's tied to the sacrifice you made in service of the country, it becomes a very emotionally charged issue. And so trying to get somebody the treatment that they deserve when you're managing folks from Washington, D.C., all over the country with various clinics and hospitals, it's just a lot of moving parts.
Critics had warned that rule could cause veterans to stop taking needed medication to avoid losing their benefits. A veteran with a service-connected knee injury, for example, whose pain is controlled by medication, could have seen their rating reduced. More than 17,000 veterans commented before Secretary Doug Collins announced the rule would not be enforced. The VA secretary announced the interim rule on disability benefits would not be enforced, at least for now. It's 7:35 at News Radio, and right now we've got 52 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Your next news at 8, let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. If you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, we just had an accident that happened on the eastbound right as you approach the Highway 29 exit. So just be aware of that. That's causing a 12-minute delay. Also, Highway 90 coming into Pensacola experiencing a 12-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. 53, partly cloudy. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump delivered his State of the Union address, setting a record for the longest speech of its kind. The president discussed Iran, affordability, and his tariff agenda.
As time goes by, I believe the tariffs paid for by foreign countries will, like in the past, substantially replace the modern-day system of income tax, taking a great financial burden off the people that I love.
Trump spoke for an hour and 47 minutes. The Mortgage Bankers Association reports the average interest rate for 30-year mortgages decreased to 6.09% from 6.17%. Applications to refinance a home loan increased 4% last week from the week before and were 150% higher than the same week 1 year ago. Europe's largest lender, HSBC, reported annual pre-tax profit of nearly $30 billion, beating analyst estimates on the back of a strong performance in its wealth division and Hong Kong businesses. Futures are slightly higher. Yesterday, the Dow gained 370. That's your money now.
If you want that real New Orleans barbecue experience, don't go to New Orleans.
No?
No. Instead, head to Voodoo Barbecue for that real New Orleans flavor.
In Pensacola?
Yep. Voodoo Barbecue is locally owned, locally staffed, and serves barbecue the way it was meant to be. Cajun style, fall off the bone ribs, pulled pork packed with flavor, the way barbecue is meant to taste. Oh, yeah. Plus sides with that New Orleans flair.
Where?
On 9 Mile Road in the Target Shopping Center. Online at voodoobbq.com. Come taste the magic and get your mm-mms ready.
I'm ready.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Tomorrow, Pensacola Sports will be our guest on Pep Talk.
Pensacola Sports' focus has and always will be on education, inspiration, and participation in various team, individual, amateur, and professional sports activities. Tune in tomorrow at 10:30 as Pensacola Sports will be on the Pensacola Expert Panel discussing the upcoming Sun Belt Basketball Championship Tournament and many of the other events on the calendar.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
No opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now.
Right now.
Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up.
Always caught up.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. I'm going to start with the oldest piece first because we just have never talked about this, you and I, on the air. And if I don't, we never will. I know it's going back a little bit in time, but I want to ask the question. The rebranding logo. I have said I like it. But I have also said that one of the things I really admired about you for the first 3 years of your administration was that you didn't do what Ashton or Grover did, which was try to put your special moniker, logo, slogan, brand on the city. And I'd have to rescind my complimenting you on not trying to do this. And all of a sudden, here we have a one. So that's part one, is doing it at all. Part two is, why not some kind of public input like you did with the street sweepers? Why money to some, you know, company? Why not something that's a little bit more public engagement, you know, public looking? Those are the questions I think people are asking. So your answers.
Sure. Well, first, I appreciate the 2 years and 11 months of support before we got here.
It was strong support. You know, I thought it was good.
It lasted. Yeah, there's a couple of things. And when we say, you know, that we put our own or the mayor puts their own moniker on. I mean, let me be clear. You know, my face isn't in any of the logos. What this really is this is a modernization of not only look, we've had the same logo for, so you talk about, well, there's been these different deviations. Yeah, there has been different terms used, but the same, you know, 20-year-old, 25-year-old logo of the horizontal Pensacola logo, that isn't as translatable to today in the uses that we want to use it on, nor does anybody really understand what it is. That was really the refresh. So, and then a couple of things to that. You know, the biggest misnomer that I hear out there is, oh, you pay $25,000 for a logo. No, anybody who's, you know, this is probably my sixth or seventh branding or rebranding in my life, in previous lives, branding or rebranding. And understand how many things come with that. I mean, I believe the brand guideline book is about 35 pages. There's multiple logos, the port, the police, the airport, that have some tie to the original logo. So those all need to be changed. There's letterhead that needs to get done. There's different settings on several different things. And so that's not just for the city of Pensacola. That's for whether it's a private company, it's a restaurant, it's a, you know, just a private business. That it's much, anybody who says, well, it's just for a logo, then it gives off the impression that they lack the understanding of what goes into something of this depth. So I believe the rebrand in 2010 or 12, whatever it was for 12, 13 years ago, I believe just the rebranding stuff was $82,000 13 years ago. So, I mean, I'm certainly appreciative of a local company cares enough about our community to be able to work with us and try to make it as budget friendly as possible, given the hundreds of hours that it takes to go and weave through all of that. So we really like it. The public engagement aspect of it is extremely difficult versus if we were doing a flag, we've actually talked about that, like a city flag, that's been a popular thing.
Okay.
Where it's one image that we're voting on again. And that goes back to the misnomer. The misnomer is, all we would need is to have the public create one logo. No, we need to have the public create a 35-page document, including color scheme, including all of these other deviations. And that's just not realistic to have as a quote-unquote public thing. But on these one-offs, on a sign, on a flag, things like that, again, we've done it. So there's no reason we wouldn't want to do that. But sometimes we can do contests publicly, and sometimes it's just not feasible to do.
All right. And, you know, again, I get the concept of trying to, you know, Facebook has a logo, Instagram has a logo, AT&T has a logo. This is the Pensacola logo. And it does show that character of easily recognizable across all these different color variations and meanings and agencies and all that kind of stuff. So I appreciate that. There's still a part of me that wishes we could have done, like, here's our two or three different ones and then let the public vote, as opposed to the public invent it all themselves. But I understand too. And, you know, you're going to spend $75,000, then you get more upset people because you made three instead of just one. I get all that as well. Let's talk about the visits that you took to, what, you went to Washington, you went to L.A. and to Tallahassee. Is that right, in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, the late January floor. Yeah, Washington for U.S. Mayor's winter annual meeting, then L.A. for the leadership meeting for U.S. mayors, and then home for 26 hours for the Mardi Gras parade, and then back to Tallahassee for all of my meetings to pound the pavement for our stuff over there. So yeah, it's been a flurry of advocacy, but very good and generally productive, we feel like.
And anything particular I know, you know, it's ridiculous in a couple of minutes to ask, but, you know, is there anything that people would take away as, oh, well, that's a pretty big either learning thing or exposure or advancement of a goal?
Yeah, I mean, a few different things. It was interesting that I was invited. Part of going to L.A. would be invited to Google, to the Spruce Goose hangar where Howard Hughes built the Spruce Goose. Google has turned that into their L.A. office. And they actually did a full day, kind of 4 or 5 hours workshop with mayors all over the country on just what's coming in AI. So that was a pretty cool thing to be invited to, and certainly learned a lot about what's on the forefront. But from an advocacy standpoint, certainly the ACW conversations that we've had, we had two different meetings during that time with EPA, including about a dozen EPA folks federally last week as a follow-up. So I'm very, very encouraged by that. And, we've met with FDOT in Tallahassee. We've met with the governor's office in Tallahassee. We've been busy for a reason. And again, that's part of the urgency of what's going on in the city. When you got a lot of projects, you got a lot of things to advocate for. Or funding deltas to make up and things like that. So the more action you have in the pinball machine, the more you need to be out there making sure that everything's going the way that you want to. So it's a good problem to have that we need to be out there because we're staying busy.
We're talking to D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola. D.C., hang on for just a second. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Florida West. They focus on attracting and expanding businesses that create jobs, increase wages, and strengthen Escambia County's economy. Just one accident on the books. That's on I-10 eastbound as you approach the Highway 29 exit. It is off to the side of the road, but I'm seeing still about a 12-minute delay. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola is experiencing a 22-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. And again, this interview is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with legacy Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Mr. Mayor, one of the things that I had wanted to ask you about is, it's a big subject. It's an ongoing, long-standing thing, but the American Creosote Works, I know you talked about it a little bit yesterday in your press conference. This is the L Street and Gimbel and Pine, that huge area in there that has been vacant and basically fenced off for forever. As I understand it, phase one is getting ready to begin, but even phase one is still a few million dollars short, and there's several phases past that before this can ever actually be a usable site. Tell me what I don't understand, or tell me what the time frame is here.
Pretty good synopsis. 18 acres, basically south of Main Street as you're going west towards Brancas, and then north, of course, of the Sanders Beach neighborhood.
Yeah.
So 18 acres has been labeled a Superfund site since 1982, 2 years before I was born. So I think we've waited long enough here in the community. But the key aspects are 2021, we get funded in the $35-40 million range. Well, as everything else happens, it takes 5 years to get going. So there's an $8.6 million delta for phase one. And then
because costs
the
went up.
Extraction to actually extract the creosote off of the site. And that's north of $60 million of phase two. And that is unfunded. So where are we today? Where we're today is, yes, unlike the city government where we can't, you know, we can't start on a warehouse on the port until all the money is procured and voted on. So federal government, I guess, doesn't have that same issue, or it's already in separate buckets, but they are going to start scraping some of the yards outside of the fence line that need that, which has always been step one of phase one. And that will actually start in this July. So work will begin. But here's the good news. What I can tell you is, and I mentioned it when you asked me about the advocacy trips, is that I've had several meetings with EPA. This is kind of the one that we've got clenched in our jaw right now, and we aren't going to let go. We've made that clear with them. And listen, we met with the Deputy Secretary of EPA on a previous Washington, D.C. trip, and he said, hey, the Trump administration is going to cut red tape. And this is with 30 mayors in the room. So they asked for questions. I raised my hand and said, well, I've got the project for you. we have one that's been super fun since 1982. So if you want to prove it, you can come prove it in Pensacola. And so we kind of built some momentum on that. So that comment led to about three meetings. And again, the last meeting I had with EPA had about 12 people federally on it, which is generally a good sign. And so there's some more things to work through, but I guess what I can say to you today is I feel extremely, extremely optimistic about the coming weeks on what may happen with EPA. That's what I can say right now.
Okay.
So you know, I think the advocacy has been very worthwhile, and as things get buttoned up and T's crossed, I's dotted, we'll see what the good news is. But I feel like we're in a much, much better position as I'm on the phone with you today than we were 30 days ago.
So optimistically realistic, realistically optimistic, something like that about, you know,
right.
best within the range of what's actually possible is where we're at. Is that a fair way to say it?
That's a fair way to say it. And it's fair to say that this is directly on the EPA's radar. And
right.
I feel very confident saying that they are in the same advocacy motivation for this particular project that I am.
I know in your press conference, you keep getting asked about the hotel, obviously, and I appreciate your response that, well, look, they're not in code violation. It is private property. There's very limited things that we can do, you know, and they're being much better, even though we hate missing the hotel, they're at least being, you know, fairly decent civic partners, certainly compared to the owners of the property up on Palafox, the old medical facility. But I have a different question, and people have been asking me, and I don't know the answer. The old FPL building, or the old Gulf Power building, which is, I think, vacant or mostly vacant, what's the future there? Is there, I've heard people say they might, you know, maybe Burdon would put their headquarters in there, whether that would take up the whole thing or not. That would also carry some parking with it. I don't know. What is the future of that building, if we know?
Yeah, the last update I received, again, and keep in mind, thank you for saying that, because there's always that misunderstanding when there's a big empty building in the city that the city somehow has authority
exactly.
over those things. You know, sometimes I wish that were the case. Sometimes I'm glad it isn't. But in this particular case, it is a private transaction between FPL. Last I heard, it is under contract with a private owner. I met with them with this group previous to it going under contract, just for familiarity's sake. I think they would be looking at multiple different opportunities there. I certainly wouldn't want to speak for them on what they think is the highest and best use of that building. But point is step one is positive, which is if there's somebody interested in activating the building, the last thing we want is an empty building on Bayfront. So if we can have commerce and office or whatever, retail, hotel, whatever they want to do, anything there being activated is a good thing. And secondly, I'm encouraged by this particular group, if they close, if this moves forward, that they are open to have conversations with the city about any opportunities that may be available. So that was, I would say, generally positive. But at this point, ultimately, the transaction is in the hands of FPL and its broker. And whether that gets closed on or signed off on or not, or whether it did yesterday or not, I'm not aware that it's fully closed, but I do know that it was moving.
Okay.
And Burdon is a good example, I think, of I think that was a conversation that came up as a kind of a what if, is that the 500 off-port jobs that will come with Burdon, maybe that would be a good location for it.
You know, and I don't think we really have time to get into it, but there's a lot of little things that are going on that are really cool. We've reported on the Skill Bridges workshop for getting the veterans transitioned into work. But also, yep. I love that Wings for All program that, and no, John, it's not Buffalo Wings for All. It's getting people who are neurodivergent and get stressed out by flying, putting them in an airplane on the tarmac to get accustomed to the idea of it so that then they would be able to fly or at least, you know, have that experience, yeah. even if it never produces a fly. I mean, it's little things like that that, you know, it's sort of like the finishing touches on the trim in your house that just they make all the difference for a city. And I love that program. So that's a wonderful thing. Just quickly, because we don't have time to really delve in, is the shutdown affecting anything for us, court, like at the port with TSA, with the airport? Are we still kind of doing okay on all these things or just generally?
Short answer is no change, no concern at this point. You okay. know, it's always a moving target. Don't get mad at me if something changes in a week or 2 weeks out there. But no, as of this moment, we have checked specifically on those things. We should expect no changes. And I actually met with some of the TSA leadership when I was at the airport
okay.
with Art Gateway and Delta yesterday. So I think we're good to go for now.
Very good. I always like to end with a lightning round. How exactly does DC Reeves prefer to open a door that you push on? You push on the wood or the glass? You push on the handle? You push with your feet? Are you a door kicker or a door pusher? What's your preference?
I'm a classic. I'm just thinking about a push door with no handle on it. I mean, I'm just going to use my hand. I feel like that's why they put that little plate on it.
Okay, so you're an obeyer then. You know, you do what they tell you to do.
Not germaphobe enough to must use my foot.
All right, very good.
My feet. Then it's going to hit me in the forehead. You know, so I'm going to just trust my hand to get the job done.
What is in your glove box in your car?
Key items. It's probably manuals, because you know, if I put something there, I'll forget it's in there. So that's, generally it's just whatever stuff came with the car.
Oh, okay. So no additions. Interesting. And last question. This is an important one. How many books, physical paper books, do you own in your house?
Actually, in front of I'm looking at bookcases right now. I'm going to just take one. I'm going to say there's 12 on that shelf. I'm going to say 200.
Okay. All right.
Something like that.
All right. That's
is there a certain like intelligence level? Is it 201?
I mean, John says he owns 12 and Andrew says he owns about 1,000. So you're right in the middle.
Well, I've got a couple of empty shelves on top. If you've got any, you know, if you're doing a,
well, John apparently likes to give away books. So maybe you guys can get together and arrange something a little bit later. Well, looking forward to the meeting.
I'll give him 5 books. You can give me a couple hundred.
My wife would love me for that and love you for taking them. Very good. Mayor DC Reeves, always a pleasure. So we look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night. Thanks for the time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. John Pickens, that's Traffic on the Fives.
That was hilarious, man. All right, let's see here. Still dealing with that one accident that happened on I-10 eastbound as you approach the Highway 29 exit through that construction zone. I'm only seeing a 7-minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing a 12-minute delay. And 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, experiencing an 18-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBV accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip during the Subaru A Lot to Love event with a new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther, and combined with Subaru's capable standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road. They're no match for the new Subaru hybrids. Get your Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid or the Subaru Forester Hybrid during the Subaru Lot to Love event. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Driving ranges based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy and a full tank of fuel. Actual mileage and range may vary.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new MyECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download MyECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Christy and Darren Costello are the owners of Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli, Fine Wines, and Cheeses. On March 15th, 2020, at the start of the COVID pandemic, Christy Costello woke in the middle of the night by a vision she was given from God.
I felt I was being called to feed the children that were missing out on meals because the schools had been closed, Jesus told me.
And then it all began.
That next morning, I started our free lunch program, feeding every child a free sack lunch that came through.
Well, it's bottom of the ninth. The score is tied. It's time for the big one.
You up for this one, Maverick?
Just a walk in the park, Kazansky.
Yes, good morning, 759 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. A little minute work for you as you're on your way to work, presumably. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning. President Trump holding a meeting today to discuss plans for renovations at the Washington Dulles Airport. Those plans were announced back in December to rebuild the airport outside of Washington, D.C. Sean Duffy, the transportation secretary, will also be involved in that meeting.
All right. Hey, we're totally out of time up against the back of the hour. We screwed some things up. It's my fault. We'll be back in just a minute talking about the State of the Union.
Stream us at NewsRadio923.com. NewsRadio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
The president also called his new tariffs stronger after what he called an unfortunate Supreme Court ruling striking down his earlier ones.
The tariffs